Welcome to the podcast they call Cums. Naturally, as always, this podcast is completely free. So, if you want to show any type of support whatsoever, do a couple of things for us. First, go to Facebook, like and share the Facebook page. Then, you go to Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
@CumsNaturalPod.
Yes, it is. You follow us on Twitter. Then, you head on over to iTunes. You subscribe on iTunes, you rate on iTunes, and you review on iTunes. And then when you're done with all of that, you tell all your friends to do the same. Now, we'll get the show started proper.
And welcome to Cums Naturally. We are...
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. Welcome to the show that has no purpose. And that's how we like it.
And it'll never end either.
No.
Nope. No, we're down to 3 downloads an episode. We're still gonna do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
We don't care.
Doesn't matter.
It'll just be us.
We have fun.
No F's are given.
Nope.
I'm trying really hard.
Try.
Like I really wanted to say it.
You want
to
talk about what we're all doing right, on the other one?
We have started. We officially have started. When I say that,
we recorded
one. We recorded the first episode of a brand new podcast we are doing. Don't worry. I know what you're thinking. This one will not. End, as Mike just said, this will be alive
will
after nuclear
end.
Explosions with cockroaches, lawyers, and my first ex-wife. So, that is an inside joke. Anyways,
sounds
so we
like
have
an old, like, Cabernet comedian. Like, shitty.
Yeah. Oh! Like, the first one!
Oh, I wasn't worried about it on this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you no. were. Yeah, I'm not gonna be clean. Whatever. Anyways.
Dude, we knocked that last one out of the park, though, dude. We did 30 minutes.
Yeah, we did. I almost dropped another F-bomb. I'm going to try my hardest because I literally have to train myself not to. Anyways, back to what we're talking about. We have started a brand new podcast about a small obsession that we all have.
Well,
and I'll throw Joe in there.
Us,
no,
yeah.
I'll let Joe say it's a slight obsession.
It's not an obsession. If it were an obsession, I'd be at home doing it. Exactly.
Anyways, so a slight obsession for 2.5 of us.
Because I only do it here.
Only dirty your house up. Anyways,
yeah,
it is a show all about the Fox hit New Girl.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the breakdown. We try our hardest not to make any bad language happen.
We will not let any.
Yeah. So we'll start over if we have to.
It'll all be clean. We'll never have that little E on that episode.
As long as I remember. Yeah. Anyways, as of right now, it is not on iTunes. But will be hopefully soon, depending on how it works out. I don't know when exactly it'll be posted on there. My plan is to post it on YouTube and then link it onto the brand new Facebook page that we have for the show. So if you want, or if you're interested in listening to that, you can. But the whole thing is we do commentary about each of the episodes and talk about fun stuff and what we like about it and the reason that 2.5 of us are obsessed with it. So yeah, check that out. It's called What's New Girl.
We talk about it on that show, but best way to do it is to watch the episode, then come back and watch it with us. I know what you're thinking. No, but
only 44 minutes of your time.
Yeah,
wasted.
The episodes are only 22 minutes. They're all on Netflix. Well,
as of right now, all of them, seasons 1, 2, and 3 are on Netflix.
Yeah, so that's a big chunk. That's 70 something episodes.
And by the time we get to the end of season 3, 4 will be up on Netflix, so we can continue.
We'll start stashing the newer seasons if we ever get caught up, because we might jump to 2 a week. Maybe we've talked about it.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
It's a quick, tight podcast. It's only going to be right around 30 minutes every episode, because it's just basically to intro the episode. We're gonna commentate over the episode. No audio of the episode, because that would be illegal.
Yes.
But highly. we'll be watching the episode, and then you can watch it with us. And the way we do it is we're gonna watch it normally and then restart it on the podcast so we can commentate over it. It's just something fun, goofy to do. Again, it'll be safe for work, so you don't have to worry about that. Cause
it's safe as the show is for work.
Yeah, and the show is on regular TV.
Yeah.
I think they get away with ass. I think that's the only thing they say.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so that is our new thing. So I don't know. I may share.
And if you haven't seen New Girl, watch it.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
gonna
do. Funny.
It's
good.
Fantastic.
It's good.
I will post the Facebook page when we load the first episode up on YouTube from this show's page, So you can then go to that show's page, and if you want to like it, but you can also watch it there. When I say watch, it's going to be a picture that stays static with the audio behind it. Because we're not filming it. We're not videotaping ourselves.
Yeah.
Because that's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you'll be able to check that out. And if you like it, cool. You can then, we'll give you some more information, obviously, on the Facebook page when it does hit iTunes and other things to download it like you do this show that you love so much. Boom. So that's the new show. What's a New Girl? Check it out.
And plus, on top of that, I want to, and we talked about this a little bit, I want to have a little bit of a YouTube video presence.
No.
And I was thinking...
Still going for this.
Yeah, because I think it would be funny. So if anybody's listening think it would be a good idea, let us know. Is I love that show, Drunk History. And I thought a nice little way to capitalize on some of that hilariousness is to get one of us drunk, and instead of doing history, because we don't know anything about it, we will do drunk reviews. So either a movie, a comic book, a TV show. Joe doesn't want to do it, but I think if I do it, he'll do it.
It's not going to end well. That's why.
But that's what I want to do. I think something like that would be fun. Cody's not allowed to do it, but he'll work the camera. So there's that.
Cody has, like, decent cameras that we could honestly do this with.
Yeah. Yeah, so what else is going on?
Yeah. Not much has really happened. Movies have been really light.
Slow time. It's our slow time. It's our off season.
We just don't take hiatus.
No TV shows are new.
It's not like we do 8 episodes and then break it up and do another 8 episodes.
Yeah, we're not
we
keep TV. Going.
Or
we're
take,
not Walking Dead.
Or take Labor Day off because, you know.
We are 52 weeks strong.
No off season.
That's still pissing
me off. No days
off.
Well, a lot
I was
of days
looking
off.
Forward to
no
having.
Weeks no weeks off.
I was looking forward to getting off work, knowing that there was no movies coming out this Sunday so that we usually go watch. And I was looking forward to watching the next episode of Fear the Walking Dead because as much as I hate every single goddamn character on that show, I still love the show. And, it's Labor Day because we're assuming that everybody's going to be out and doing stuff. No.
First off,
don't
people,
do stuff.
The people who are going to do something on Labor Day are going to do it on Monday because why? Labor Day's on Monday. Give me my goddamn shows on Sunday.
Exactly.
No, did you have a chance to even try to watch TV on Sunday? It was garbage.
Yeah, serious.
I watched 30 Rock again.
Actually, I ended up watching Back to the Future because this past week has been their 30th anniversary.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is dope, so, except for you watch it on like regular TV.
Which is true because I do actually own all the DVDs somewhere. Not the Blu-rays. I bought the DVDs and then the Blu-rays came out. Right? I always hate when they do that. God, they did that to me with Aliens. We're releasing the Alien Quadrilogy. Here it is. And then, like,
boom, Blu-ray.
2 months later, it was like, Blu-ray.
No.
I'm like, I hate all of you. And then I bought them on digital not too long ago when they were on sale.
All of them?
All of them, yeah. I do technically own all of them, which include the stupid...
The best ones ever?
Oh, I fucking hate you so much.
Three
for saying,
and... Joe's favorite?
Resurrection.
Yeah.
Ugh.
The second best alien movie ever made.
I almost threw up.
Right after Alien vs. Predator 2.
God. Oh, gross. No movie should be like a horror movie, and yet I laugh at a little kid getting his face his face raped, essentially, by a facehugger.
He does.
Don't call it face rape, though.
But that's what's happening. It's sticking its alien wing wang down your throat.
Literally, it forces its wing wang down your throat. Like, if that's not what the definition of rape is, especially face rape, then
I feel like
you don't have that
right. I feel like we're 9.5 minutes into this podcast, and we've already explained face rape. So.
Well, we shouldn't have to explain it, but it did get explained.
Yeah, because you say it's not, like, but it's like, it is.
I just think you shouldn't use the term face rape on a podcast.
We didn't use it as a term. We were explaining what happens in the second best Aliens movie.
That's what I'm saying.
Again,
I'm saying.
You keep
causing problems by saying it's the second best Aliens movie.
I love when he gets riled up. Me off.
I'm saying that I shouldn't be laughing at this.
No,
I should
you shouldn't
not be.
Laugh at Face.
Should not be.
No, no,
at all. But I do.
That's very true. But even worse, if it's a child that's getting
exactly.
Face rates.
Yeah, you shouldn't laugh.
That's
it's
how
like,
bad these
no,
movies
and then,
are.
Oh no, no, no! But yeah, you no, do laugh, no. And it's like, oh well, am I a bad person? And you realize it's
exactly.
not a good movie, and then you're like, oh, so I'm not a bad person. This is an awful movie.
Exactly.
So boom.
Yes.
So let's not talk about stuff we don't like. Is there anything going on right now that you do like?
I want to watch Star Wars, like bad. Is that a thing?
We should start that next week.
That's still a thing.
Yeah. Well, are we going to do it 6 weeks before it comes out?
We could do it before that. I mean, we're close enough to where it all.
Well, because I just want to be like, I want to have like the theme going into it. Like we normally do, like we watch Fantastic Four the week it came out. You know.
So 6 weeks before would be in.
The end of, weeks, it's no, it's in November. Because the movie comes out in December.
Yeah, December, December 25th.
Oh, that's right. Always
yeah. Talkie talk. I'll November. Look it up real quick.
Look what up.
The dates.
When Star Wars dates. I keep thinking
25th, 8th? Isn't it?
No, I thought it was the 8th.
No, it's like Christmas.
It's around Christmas. It's not on Christmas Day.
It's like it's literally like the 24th, 25th, or the 26th. It was like that type of day.
I kept screwing it up.
I kept hitting the button. I was like, why the hell is December so far away? I was hitting the back button because I'm an idiot and I don't know how to work a calendar on a computer.
Computer calendars.
Idiot.
Back in my day, calendars were made out of paper.
No, not back in your day. You were like
so old.
You weren't even born when they had paper calendars.
Back in Cody's day,
back in Cody's
calendars,
day,
they were marked on cave walls with bones.
Yeah, bone dust.
No,
bone saw. No,
bone saw's ready.
Joe Manganiello.
No, I say that we watch.
Oh man,
two episodes. Or two movies every time that we sit down.
Every time?
It.
So you want to cut down to 3 weeks?
Yeah. Because why do we have to spread it out?
Because
then we're also taking up so much of October, which we can be doing.
Well, we're not going to Denver now. Remember, the plan was the last week of October to go to Denver.
Yeah.
We can't do that now. I mean, we could, but someone can't go. But, what was it looking up again?
You were saying the dates of Star Wars, which I'm very surprised you don't know, like off the top of your
head. No, I'm trying to go 6 weeks back from it, but I want to get the
exact opening date.
I'm surprised that Cody hasn't like.
Do you imagine how annoying the midnight crowd's gonna be?
Oh no, super annoying.
Ugh. Oh, they're gonna be the worst. Dressed up,
worst crowd.
Lightsaber fights.
And they're gonna fucking cheer for dumb shit. Oh, during the movie.
That's why I don't want to go to a midnight, but I do want to go to a midnight, but I don't want to go to a midnight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I wish we had the kind of money where we're just like, oh, we're renting this theater out.
You have to be so because at that point
rich.
You have to pay for every seat.
Yeah,
you couldn't do one of those things like we're gonna privately rent this. Like you literally
have to pay for
every seat because they're not gonna give you especially for something like Star Wars.
But
if I said, hey guys,
I
wanted to rent a theater and just watch the Scorch Trials, people are like, yeah, okay, whatever. Here's the price. Star Wars are like, well, you're out. First off, sir, you're out of your fucking mind because there's no way we're gonna give you a theater
for Star Wars on opening night.
Yeah, so you're gonna have to pay for every single seat. And I'd be like, well, matinee prices, and they're like, no, full price. I'm like, well, you don't have a deal.
That's yeah,
because I ain't rich.
I'm saying. If I was rich, though.
I'm Lego rich, but I'm not rich rich. You know what I mean?
Like if Lego was currency, you'd be rich? Is
yeah.
That what you're saying?
Yes. But also, like, I can buy any Legos that I want.
With proper planning and budgeting.
Well, yeah, for the most part. I mean, I can... If it comes out, if, like, Lego set comes out, like, I'm gonna
get
that.
So here's what we do. We get somebody to get hired over at a theater, and then we... He, like, sneaks out a copy...
Oh, no, we're not going to jail. No, we're not going to jail. Mainly because they don't have copies.
We'll go to murder jail in like, Brazil for that.
Disney will bury us so far in some
crazy... You think George Lucas was bad?
Yeah, not when you get...
Disney's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I imagine they're bad.
A, two problems with that. A, I don't want to go to jail for stealing a movie from a theater. And B, they don't have copies of the movie. It's all digital.
Oh, that's right.
So unless he steals, like, a hard drive, then we're super messed because we don't have the algorithm to decode it. And then we stole actual physical property from somebody, and Mike's going to go to jail because I'm going to say I don't know who he is. What was your Snapple fact?
Let me read it to you.
Come on. All right, so December
18th. Yep. All the major candidates in the 1992, 1996, and 2008 U.S. president elections were left-handed. Huh? Interesting. Thanks a lot, Obama.
I saw a meme a couple days ago.
A meme?
Meme, whatever.
Meme.
It's like the difference between GIF and GIF. It's actually pronounced GIF.
Nah, but
go
it's
fuck
GIF.
Yourselves. Go it's fuck GIF. Yourselves. No, go fuck GIF. Yourselves.
No, but it's
no anyway, whatever you happen to call it, it's of the president sitting there drinking, like sipping on a soda.
Yeah.
And it just at the bottom says, I'm just waiting for what they blame me for next.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's fucking hilarious.
Sounds fantastic. Because I sent that to you.
Was that you?
Yeah, that was
me.
I
don't fucking pay attention. Who the fuck cares?
Whoa. Wow, he got really, really personal attacking there.
Yeah, like, he did.
Calm down.
No.
Do you have the dates yet, dude?
Yes, yes.
All right, go.
Yes. So, what are we doing?
He's playing
I'm
games.
Waiting for you to say the dates.
So, if we do 6 weeks out... That puts us to the 20th of October. Or of November, I mean.
Okay.
So November, so it'd be November 20th. This is the air dates, so not the when we record them. Record them would be the Wednesday. So the 20th, the 27th, the 4th, the 11th, and then the 6th. Because we would record Return of the Jedi the week that The Force Awakens comes out.
Word.
So it would be five. So technically speaking, it would be 5 weeks out.
Okay.
So 5 weeks before... The new one comes out, we'll watch them in order. Does that sound good?
Yeah, I guess.
That way it's not going to get in the way of our hopefully not yet announced plans for Halloween.
Well, they kind of announced. You said what you wanted to do.
No, not the new plans. Remember, we're not going to Denver, so we're not doing that one. But the other one that we talked about that we haven't talked about here.
Okay.
Mystery. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm not even sure if I know what we're talking about.
Motherfuckers. All right, I'm going to announce it right now.
I think you know now. I think I know what you're saying.
I will hit you so hard your color will come back in your beard. Please tell me you remember what we talked about. Oh, you were the worst.
I just didn't know that was like a set plan.
Remember? That was what we were planning. And we were going to make it but have it was, to do with the show.
It
remember?
Was still loosely.
Yeah, but that was the plan. Okay, plan. I got you. Like, Denver's out the door, this one's in.
All right.
How do you not remember this? Oh, so mad right now.
What? Oh, you so crazy. Anyway, nah. Tension in here is thick, guys. I mean, I cut it with a knife.
Let's just fuck it out.
Whoa.
Wait. Whoa. No, that's something different.
That sounds like something Manny would say.
True love.
Yeah.
Manny.
So, yeah. So that's the thing. Go ahead. You're saying something.
What else are you into right now?
What else are you into right now?
What's good? What's good right now, entertainment-wise? What to do? It's a lull. There's
nothing. Yeah. Even the fact that I thought that Jurassic World was being released back into the IMAX theaters.
Yeah, because I was down. Yeah, well, not in our area, though.
And it turns nothing out that it's not. In Arizona.
No,
and
it was for a week.
If it was for, yeah, it's for a week. But there are other IMAXs that
week?
Are still.
It was there for a
that
week.
Are still doing it. And in Harkins regular, it's still going. So
yeah,
you can
it hasn't really
Harkins.
Left theaters. You can go get like a showing a day.
But I still was so surprised that the Transporter, the new Transporter movie, is in IMAX 3D.
Well, that's like, the new one. It makes sense. That
no, it doesn't. It's movie. Not an IMAX
if
movie.
If you have one, well, ending now is because
no,
like, oh,
but, I mean, shot IMAX wise, maybe. I'm saying like a draw for IMAX. Jurassic World was a draw to go see it at
no,
IMAX.
No, that's why Jurassic World was in there for a week because there was nothing else. So they brought back because they're going to bring back Mad Max next week,
which would be awesome. That's
Mad Max never even played in our area on a real IMAX. It was in the shitty ones, but not the real ones. I'm down to go see Mad Max on the Tempe one. If they,
but I'm just saying in general that
faux show.
Like I wouldn't even want. I mean, I'm sure there's people that want to go see the Transporter in regular movies, but why put it in the IMAX? It just seems like you're losing money on that.
Well,
Well, it used to be yes, but now because it's all digital, it's literally just like, hey, we don't really have anything else.
Like I said, that's why there was nothing for a second, so that's why they threw in.
They could draw more people playing documentaries probably than the Transporter.
Sometimes they play documentaries in the IMAX thing.
No, they do. That's what I'm saying. They because they have like the space one they did a couple
of
years ago.
But when a new movie comes out, they're at least going to give it a shot if it's an IMAX movie.
Awful.
Like, granted, I don't want to see it either, but I understand why they're putting a new movie in there.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'll just set myself a reminder on my electronic devices to, get ready to go. And I have them digitally now, so I don't have to, like, use Blu-ray discs.
What? Blu-ray. You know what sucks? The only thing that sucks about digital is like Blu-ray still looks a little bit better.
Well, it is better. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean technically.
And so far the audio quality is going to be better on Blu-ray until somebody decides to try and release the the true HD audio.
What do you mean? Well, Blu-rays have
true date
master audio. Yeah.
Have the master audio. Oh, yeah, but, like digitally? You go to iTunes or something. It's still 5.1. It's like it's still good audio, but it's not the it's not the audio that you would typically have with a Blu-ray 1080p disc. So it'd be interesting to see if somebody actually does that.
Yeah. Oh, here's some news we can talk about that Joe and I will talk about. The Martian.
Yep.
Book is amazing.
Yes, it is.
Mike just moves his fucking mic away and just makes this horrible draggy noise on the recording. Could have just picked it up and gently set it down, but nope. Make as much noise as possible.
This is my disgust.
Don't put it on the floor. Let me hear your feet sounds. Anyways, The Martian is an amazing book.
Yes, it is.
And it's coming out as a movie.
Yes, it is.
Mainly the reason we read it. Yep. Like, I'm sure Joe probably would have read it because it's space stuff and he's a space nerd. But likely it was not on the top of his list unless because it was a movie.
No, and I don't think it was on the top of many people's list.
No, I mean, which is funny because like reading the story behind it, like not the story about the but the book, the story of the book, but yeah. like the Andy Weir, the guy who wrote it, he literally wrote it offhanded as like an ebook for Amazon. Well, not even for Amazon.
No,
directly.
He had his own webpage.
Yeah,
and he was just he loves space. He's a computer programmer.
Super nerd.
I think he actually does work for NASA. But
he was a consultant for NASA.
Consultant for NASA.
Yeah, just checking.
And he just loves space. And so he went through this idea of what if we sent somebody to Mars, a team to Mars, what would you realistically have to plan to do? How would you execute the missions and stuff like that? And so he just slowly wrote a story around that. And the cool thing was that it started picking up momentum. And he started having the people that would visit his website saying, hey, you should post this on Amazon. And so initially on Amazon, he had it set for 99 cents because that was the lowest that you could go on Amazon. And then he started getting letters and emails and stuff from actual people who work at NASA and astronauts and stuff like that who were saying, this is really cool, but you could this wouldn't really happen or this wouldn't really work. But if you tweaked it this way, it would make it better. And that's how he slowly honed the story into something that is actually very realistic, something that's actually very interesting. And then he eventually...
Terrifying.
He got picked up not too long after by Penguin Publishing, I think it was.
No, is it Penguin? We could fact check this.
Yeah. But anyway, so... And it's really cool for him because after that, it was like a snowball. It was literally like, hey, you want to get this thing printed? And he's like, yeah. Hey, we're going to make a movie out of this. And he's like, that's awesome. And so it literally just, the book comes out and then it's announced that it's being made into a movie. Yeah.
A dope ass movie. It's Crown Publishing Group.
Crown Publishing.
Which may act, no, it's not Penguin because Penguin is part of another one. Anyways, the book is phenomenal.
Yes.
The movie, by the first two trailers I watched. Yeah. First two? Did I watch two? I might have. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Looks awesome as well. It's Ridley Scott, so like he knows space stuff pretty well at this point.
So you know like the cinematography, the audio, like all the stuff that goes into a movie. It's gonna look good, it's gonna sound good. The problem, and I know Cody's this is what he's getting at, is will the dialogue
match? The dialogue is part of it, but like the characters themselves are so, because they are from a book, are so dependent on being developed by their dialogue and how they talk and how they act in it, that because the movie is rated PG-13, I'm pretty good at imagining what goes on in movies. I've seen a few of them. That there's a lot of certain words that you're not going to be able to be used in a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
And the first, just the first line of the book cannot be, is literally going to be the most you could ever use in the rest of the movie. And that one line sets the tone of Mark Watney, the character that Matt Damon plays in the book, or in the movie, in the book, makes him, that sets his character's tone and everything from get-go. As soon as he says it, is fuck, fuck, I'm fucked. That is the first line of the book. And it's like, you can't do that with PG-13, because PG-13, you get like one F-bomb.
Be funny if they led the movie off with the fuck. One F-bomb, and then that was it. They like they don't say it throughout the
See, rest. I think, I haven't read the book, but I think you can get, obviously the dialogue won't be right, but I think you could still get characterization right on a PG-13 in that case. If it was literally just the language, because in a book, that's all you got to go by, really, you know?
Yeah, well, yes, but the thing about it is, like I was saying, the way not just Mark Watney's character, but like all of them, the way they talk is super crude for the most part because they're all adults, but also like Annie, the report, like the PR person for NASA, she is filthy.
Yeah.
Like at one point she says, fuck me sideways.
Yeah.
Because they find out that Mark Watney is alive and they just told all of the entire world that they lost an astronaut on Mars and he died.
Yeah.
Now it turns out, spoiler, he didn't die. He's alone on his on the planet by himself with literally enough supplies for six people to last 35 days, I think is what they actually said, with extras.
Yeah.
So he can literally just time that by six and then he's done, because he can't really grow anything. Doesn't have any they takes 9 months for them to get to Mars with a supply. But it takes even longer for them to set it up, everything, to get it to go.
Well, that was even on the best ideal.
No, I mean, once if they had everything set, it took once they launched it, it took 9 months to get there, right?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah, so it took 9 months just to get the rocket with supplies from Earth to Mars. But that doesn't include all the prep of getting everything set up.
Yeah.
On a rocket, because NASA doesn't have rockets just laying around. They just go throw a probe in it,
Everything's designed, specifically designed for what they need, what the tolerance is, what the environment's going to be and stuff like that. And that's something that they address in the book, where they tried to speed rush the first resupply probe and boom, just explodes on launch because
it's bad news.
Yeah.
Bad, bad news. Anyways, what I'm saying is PG-13, I'm not going to say could ruin the movie, but may ruin what I like to imagine the movie could have been. Now, I get it. I'm not saying, why do they have to make PG-13? I get it. They want families to see it.
Yeah, because it's one of those things that, at the end of the day, it's going to be a rah-rah.
Yeah.
You know, astronauts are supposed to be, the pinnacle of humans, you know?
Yeah, they're the best of the
smart,
best. They're smart. Mike.
They're, yeah, eh? Right?
No man buns, though.
No.
Yeah.
Good. But, I get it. I get the fact that you want it to be viewable for the entire family. But, man, I'm just hoping...
But it does take away from the reality of it.
Yeah.
From the fact that they are adults and they're going to be saying bad stuff, or they're going to be saying, it's just stuff that comes naturally to them, you know?
It's the name of the show.
And it is unfortunate when that type of stuff has to be taken out of a movie.
Yeah, and it's because other than the fact that just the language, there's really no violence in it.
No.
There's a wee bit of drug references, but that's because Mark's kind of an awesome dude.
Yeah.
There's really nothing that would be, other than the language itself, like the F-bombs that are frequently used by almost everybody except for people from China. And that's not racist. It's literally the only people who don't cuss in that book. Oh, actually, the SATCOM chick doesn't cuss, I don't think. Anyways.
It's been a while since I read
it. Yeah. There's just a ton of bad language. So that's the only thing really that would make it R. And maybe the ratings board is like, hey, forget it. You know, language isn't that bad, whatever. But like the way that that he uses, the way Andy Weir uses the language of the characters gives you a sense of who they are as being people.
And that's what Mark Watney is, like this kind of funny dick.
Yeah, like he's
asshole. They literally explain him as the soul of the group. That even from day one, he was the one that was always joking, always trying to keep the mood very light.
Yeah,
and that's why everybody loved him, and that's what that we're afraid really that is going to be taken out of the movie when you take out that dialogue.
Yeah, I mean, not saying that some screenwriter somewhere can't figure out how to do it. It's just like the fact that the way the language is used in it is used for a reason. So hopefully some screenwriter, I don't even know who it was, I can probably look it up since the book thing's in front of me, has a way to keep the assholishness that Mark Watney embodies intact without having to use that language. Just because the reason he's the way he is in the book is because of the way he narrates the book is done on audio logs that he's basically just, so he doesn't lose his mind, is talking to or recording to A, preserve what he did on Mars, but also just to not literally lose his shit.
Yeah.
Because he's by himself at the point where I'm at, because I'm almost finished with the book, he's been on Mars by himself for 398 souls, which is longer than a day. So basically way over 400 days by himself. Like, I don't know if you've ever been by yourself for a long period of time, like a weekend. You start to go a little stir crazy without human companionship. And literally the only thing he has is disco music and 70s TV shows.
Ugh.
And it's not because that's what's transmitted to NASA. No. That's what Lewis, the commander, has on her laptop. Like, that's the only thing she has. She has a stockpile of 70s TV shows and disco. And it's like, that right there should make you want to jump out an airlock without a suit on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, good God. But the book is fantastic. I do recommend it. Audiobook, of course, is fantastic. The guy who reads it is amazing.
And you can purchase them both together with Amazon.
Yep.
Where you can get the Whisper Sync. And
I know it sounds like a sponsor, but guess what, kids? That's not a sponsor.
I just love how they discount down so much, because it ended up being like $3 for the ebook, and then another.
Yeah, I don't know. Have we ever talked about $7? Whisper Sync on here?
No, we haven't.
All right, so this is a breakdown. We're not going to go into it a lot because Mike's already bored with this space talk. Whisper Sync, if you want to listen to audiobooks, if you go to Audible, which is by far the largest catalog of audiobooks, and if you think, oh, what about iTunes? That's where they get them from. iTunes gets them from Audible. So if you go to iTunes, you see the audible.com.
Mm-hmm.
They're fucking expensive. Like, I'm talking a book you can buy, hardcover, nice print copy is like $25 in a store. Audio version, like $50. $40, $50. It's ridiculous.
Especially like when you get into the Game of Thrones stuff.
Game of Thrones is ridiculous. Oh my God.
Because the audiobooks themselves are like 30, 40 hours long. Yeah. I think the longest one was.
It's a hell of a production. 40. I get that.
It is a hell of a production, but it then sells for like $50, $60 on Audible. But then you go, I love it. You go over to Amazon, you're like, yes, I will purchase the ebook. And oh my God, look. The ebook cost me like $10, and now for some reason the audiobook cost me $12.
Yeah, like the most I've ever paid is $12.99 for the audiobook.
Yeah.
And which is really funny because I think the cheapest I paid was Dracula was free.
Yeah.
The audiobook was 99 cents.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, well, there's a deal. And and what's funny about that one is that is the biggest cast of any of the ones I've listened to. I haven't actually listened to it yet. Because
it was an actual production.
But it was like, this has got like multiple actors. When I say actors, legitimate actors in it.
Yeah.
Like a whole cast of people who you know, which is really funny because like I've listened to several audiobooks now, all of Game of Thrones ones read by the same person, but like The Shining is read by
I actually don't know
what's his name. He played Lex Luthor's dad in Smallville. Can't think of his name right now.
Okay, but at least know I can think of who you're talking about.
And then like It, I thought was really funny. Not the book's really funny too. the parts of it. There's one thing disturbing thing I want to bring up, and that's why I got into the audiobooks thing. We'll get there in a minute. But it's read by the guy who plays Jack from the Shining TV show.
Oh, right,
yeah. The miniseries that was done. He reads the book for It. I was like, just keep it in the family. If you worked on a Stephen King movie, right? Want to read a book? But he's the brother from Wings. Mike Hinch's in that one.
Yeah.
Can't think of his name right now.
I love it when the authors will actually read their own books. I finished Neverwhere by Neil Gaiman not too long ago, and he read the book. And it's such
he is an amazing
weird,
voice.
He does, and it's that such weird a weird accent. Yeah, to listen to him read his own books. And it's a book that's set in England.
Yeah.
And so he's an English person.
And he's reading English descent.
Yeah, exactly. So it sounds English. And it's just weird to, you know, because they have different ways of talking and different words that they use and stuff. So it's fun. It is absolutely fun to sit there and listen to those guys talk.
Up until, let's see, the most bizarre one was Horns, because that has this weird musical intro.
No, what was weird about Neverwhere, some of the chapters in between the would have the music that would go through it, and some wouldn't. I was so perplexed by that.
Well, Star Wars was the Heir to the Jedi was the most bizarre one, because not only do they have sound effects, like laser blasts, the lightsabers igniting and turning off, R2's noises, things like that, but there's voices, the guided voices. They did music, but when it went from chapter 1 to chapter 2, you'd hear the dude's voice like being digitized, like it's a computer saying chapter 2. Like, it was really bizarre, like super strange.
But it's really cool when they put that type
of, but it was like because it was like listening to like a movie or a radio play for those kids that used to believe in radio plays. But like, that's how entertainment was before TV happened. I know, Mike.
Audible,
there was a time
Audible
where TV
actually
didn't existed.
Does have those.
Well, it's from Audible, is the one.
No, but I mean, they actually have those original shows.
Yeah, like the shadows on there and stuff.
Yeah, that are just straight up audio productions. And I'm trying to remember the actor that was from Spider-Man 2 who played Dr. Octavius.
Come on.
Don't do this to me.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. Do not give him a hint. Wow, really? You're just going to sit there?
I am.
Alfred Molina?
There you go.
Jesus. Wow. Just said that guy from Indiana Jones. Sorry. That's funny. What did he do?
He's in one of their original shows.
Oh, really? Like OG shows?
That's going on now. Yeah, he does one of the voices for it. Yeah.
So he played Dr. Ock?
I didn't actually listen to it. No.
Oh, that'd be super weird. He's like just randomly Doc Ock and completely something else. He's like, this is the Titanic with Doc Ock.
He's throwing people overboard.
Like, this story is way different than I remember. James Cameron cut all this out. Anyway, so what I was going to say about It, the roundabout way I've got there, that book was amazing. It was super long. It's like 44 hours long. It is tremendous. Stephen King has his way of making people that you just care about so much, but then also people you just literally want to die in a fire.
Mm-hmm.
But everything was going great until the scene I didn't know was in the book, because I'm pretty sure it's been a while since I saw the movies, wasn't in them, was the 11-year-old gangbang.
That's a little weird.
So it's not explained why it happens, really. So they when they're kids, they defeat it. They're leaving. They kind of get flustered and lost. And so the only girl in the group says, hey, I know how to get us back together. Literally has sex with all of them. So it's 11-year-olds having sex with an 11-year-old, just taking turns. Like, one, and then two, and then three, and then four, and then five, and then six, and we're done. It was the weirdest fucking thing ever. And I'm driving to work, listening to this, like, I want to skip this because it's super uncomfortable, because he describes it.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like, it's not just like, oh, they have sex. It's like they describe four of the six times that was going through. And I was like, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That seems awkward.
Oh,
But King will do that every once in a while
in
his stories where I realized
scene,
that.
Like the sex scenes from The Shining, they're awkward because they're like, hey, your kid is asleep on the cot right in the same room. This is 11-year-olds having sex for the first time with each other in the dark of a sewer.
Yeah.
And the detail he goes into of when she orgasms is fucking creepy.
Yeah.
She feels like she's flying. I was like, whoa, dude. Dude, first off.
Stop.
Don't.
This
Mr.
is
King,
the part of the story where you can literally just taper off and everybody's
You didn't
fine.
Even have to put it in there. Like, I don't understand why. It got them focused and they got out. That came out wrong.
Yeah.
They escaped.
Whew. That came out totally wrong.
But it was so weird. Like, I'm driving to work and oddly enough, it finishes that part of the book as I get to work. And I was like, my day is going to be weird.
Yep.
Just strange. And what's super odd about that is guess what news broke that same day?
Oh, was that the Jared thing?
The same day Jared came out as a pedophile. I was like, the world is
Jared
trying to tell me
Subway.
Something. Yeah, Jared from Subway. Not just Jared, we know.
We don't know a guy named Jared who's a pedophile. So
we may, but we don't know for a fact. But Jared from Subway likes to pay to have sex with 17-year-olds and I think one 16-year-old. But I thought it was just a strange coincidence that day is the day I read the chapter of the 11-year-old gangbang. So that was strange to me.
Yeah, that's
and then later that day, I stopped by Best Buy, and Joe's like, "Oh, I saw you reading it." I was like, "Yeah, not you, Joe, the other Joe." And he's like, "Yeah, but that underage gangbang." I was like, "Jesus Christ, is that what stuck with you in that book?" Because it's starting to stick with me quite a bit. Like, unfortunately, it's like kind of obsessed with why that was in there and why it needed to be in there.
Yeah,
super weird. But what I do enjoy was how fucking terrifying that book actually is.
Yeah,
like. Gross. And the voice he gives it, Pennywise, I guess, or actually just it in general, is super creepy because it's like Tim Curry on like meth. It's bad awful. News. But there's so much, like that's why I want to rewatch the movies because there's so much I do not remember from the movies that are in that book. Like how the fact that like Paul Bunyan's statue was one form of it. Because the town of Derry, Maine, there is, for some reason, because it was an ex-logging town, like right there by Canada, that they erected a giant plastic statue of Paul Bunyan in blue outside the city capital or the capital building, whatever you want to call it. And I was just like, that seems weird, right? Like a fictional character has nothing to do with Derry, Maine, because Derry, Maine, A is made up for the book and all of the other ones. But like, why? I guess it's the most, I mean, when you think, hey, what's the number one most, like, famous lumberjack? Paul Bunyan. Like,
there
name another
There's a
one.
Giant statue of Paul Bunyan, like, in real life. I can't remember.
It's in California. I've been there before.
Is it California? Yeah. I thought it was, like.
It's near the Redding Forest. I've been there. It might be another one, but I know there's one in California because I've been there.
Because swore I've driven past one in, like, Montana or South Dakota or something like that.
Like, anyone cares what's in Montana or
no.
South Dakota?
It's really weird. You go there, it's green.
Yeah.
What the fuck is up with that?
You know why, right? No one's there.
No, it's because they actually
We are
have
there
plants.
To destroy it. Yeah, well, it's because we're not there to destroy them. Anyways, so yeah, if you read It, which I highly recommend, just know there's going to be some really uncomfortable moments towards the end of the book. Well, there's uncomfortable moments for other reasons, but the 11-year-old gangbang is by far the strangest thing I've ever read or had read to me. And I've read a lot of books. A lot of serial killer books. I'm more comfortable with those than I am with what happened in that fucking book. Which says, I think, a lot about me, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Or a lot about Stephen King.
Oh, no. Guess who just commented on a certain picture they posted on Facebook?
Is finally replied to that?
He did, yeah.
At least you all know where you stand now. By the way, Joe, thanks for the lovely comments last night. Oh, he finally called you out on it.
At least you all know where
I told
you,
autocorrect, man. It gets you.
Tosh.
Gets you.
Tosh, if you're listening to this, we know
what,
who you
What the
we
fuck,
won't.
Dude? She just invited us to breakfast. Like, that's all you had to do to avoid
You
could all have
this. Covered your ass by saying,
we
oh,
were
hey.
Literally 3 blocks down from there.
Literally, like, we weren't even like that. Like, he could be like, hey, I know you guys are going to the comic shop, which I know for a fact is down the street. When I say down the street, like, Best Buy is down the street from my house, if you know what I mean. Like, it's way down the fucking street. This is literally, you could walk, not that I wouldn't this heat.
No.
You could walk from the comic book store to Kiss the Cook.
It's a straight walk, too. It's not, it's literally just down Glendale. Yeah, like, you say Best Buy is down the street from your house. That's down the street, around the corner. It's down the street. This is literally like we leave the comic book shop, turn right, and could just walk right over to walk straight over to Kiss the Cook.
So you're not a good friend.
Which, by the way, if you live in Arizona and you haven't tried Kiss the Cook, it's actually really good.
Old Town Glendale.
Old Town Glendale.
If you blink, you will miss it, literally, because there's not much of a sign. And if the one they do have,
there, it's just old as shit. Right behind a tree.
Well, no, the big one is just old as shit.
Yeah. Like,
but it's good. The muffins are
phenomenal.
Amazing.
What was that place we went to today? That place is good as shit.
Oh, Favet.
Favet
or something like that. Basically,
it was so good.
It was a good. Pho restaurant. Yeah.
Way too much fucking food.
It was good.
Was trying to be piled in my face.
I tried Korean, Vietnamese, meatloaf today. That's really weird. I still don't know what was in it. Some of it was good. Part of it wasn't great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
Cold noodles threw me for a loop.
It's cold noodles. Like, it didn't look cold. That was a weird thing. They looked like they were deep fried.
They did. Yeah. That's why I was like, oh, like deep fried noodles. This ought to be interesting. And I dug right in and I went cold.
Like, if
and you have that, I had that reaction of like, get it out of my mouth, but don't look stupid.
If you have leftover Chinese food in your refrigerator and you eat it, you know it's cold. Why? Because you took it out of your refrigerator. When you get a hot plate of food and you're like, hey, look, hot rice, hot chicken, whatever it is.
I'm pretty sure the lettuce and tomato I had on the side was hot.
And you're like, hey, here's some noodles look like they're deep fried. Blah, they're cold. Like that's just gonna easily gonna like make you go. Plus, when they said Vietnamese meatloaf, I expected like a good chunk of meatloaf. It was a very tiny piece.
And I was looking at one of the little pictures that they had on the side, and I could see like the pork that I was getting. Like I knew that it was the Vietnamese meatloaf that I was like, what the fuck is that? And you can kind of see a little sliver of something
like the size of a domino
that I assumed was it because it looked like kind of like an American meatloaf.
Yeah,
you know, it was dark. It was, you know, dark brown. It looked good. And I was like, oh, I'll try that. And when I get it, it's like this orange crust on top. And it was,
which I think it was
like
carrots.
A gray. It might have been carrots. And it was a gray actual like meat substance there. And I ate it.
Why did you get the pho?
I'd like it. I'm just not a huge soup person. If we ever go to, because I couldn't find it on that menu, especially because I don't know exactly what it is.
That menu is long as fuck balls.
Oh, huge.
But it's like that for a lot of pho places.
Yeah, I know. Because
they give you like every combination of everything.
But that's what I'm saying. So if we go to a Pho Vina or Little Saigon? Little Saigon. There's an actual menu item that's literally like three different types of meats. It's the barbecue, the pork something or other. And it's rice with fried egg on top. I love it. That's usually what I get. And so that's what I was looking for when I went there, but they didn't have it. So I got something that was close enough because the pork, the barbecue pork, was really good. It was. Yeah.
Don't get a large, though.
No, get a large. Just don't get anything with it.
The pho, yeah.
Yeah, get a large. Just don't get an appetizer like an idiot.
Yeah, don't get two egg rolls.
Don't sit there and pour a bunch of...
Fuck yourself. You had
They had a special for a regular with
like
two.
Three of them,
and I ate the other three of them.
Yeah,
there was eight.
The wings were actually really
four
good
and four
too.
Then.
Yeah, four and four. Yeah, I can't tell you exactly how many I ate just because you know I would eat one and I'd suddenly look down and there's another one and I'm like
growing chicken.
Yeah,
yeah, because the pho itself was way too much.
So
ridiculous. Don't get an appetizer. Just get a large bowl and then don't get anything else.
Learn from our mistakes or Cody's mistakes
and also,
and Mike's mistakes.
They keep
don't...
the bill at the register.
Which was really confusing.
So we were sitting there for like a good 10 minutes wondering if we're ever going to get a bill.
Yeah.
Because it said pay here. And we're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I get that.
You get your receipt,
but then we
get your bill, and then you walk
and then we
up.
Go and pay it. No, you just go there.
That's like, that's what I hate about IHOP. I'm not really ever going to go there again, but some IHOPs you pay at your table, and other ones you pay at the register, and so it's always confusing when
keep
those places,
uniformed.
Yeah, change.
But also, like if you're a restaurant where you pay at the register, that's fine. But give us the bill first.
Yeah,
we'll take it up.
Yeah, but otherwise, it was a great place to go.
It was really good,
and that one
that
was
the
on Bell
Vietnamese
and,
coffee.
Oh, that was the first time you've ever had it.
It was ridiculous.
I told you it's super good, but you really got to be careful because
I like might as well inject it into your veins because you get amped up after that.
But the taste of it, I always akin it to like a chocolate taste.
Yeah, because it's like a slow drip espresso over condensed milk.
Yeah.
And so when it all finally drips out, you mix it up. And you could drink it hot. I tried it both ways because, yeah. But then you put the ice on it, it's really, really good. It's like dessert drink that's got 1,000 times the amount of caffeine that you need.
And that's the first time I've ever had it, actually, because normally they just serve it to you in a glass. I would imagine that they just have it going in most places constantly because that's what they serve as coffee. Yeah. That's the first time I've ever had it actually served with one of those little, the actual makers for them, you know.
It's good. Yeah. It's good. Very good. Cody.
Boom.
Weird random question, because I've been listening and watching to a lot of stand-up. Who's your favorite stand-ups going right now?
I would say, a week ago, I'd say John Mulaney. I really do like his stand-up, and I'm kind of upset that I won't be here when he comes to Phoenix. I won't be.
I might be.
Yeah, but I know I won't be because we have plans to be gone that weekend. Like, we leave that day that he's here. But Anthony Jeselnik's album from 2013, I think it was.
I think so.
Was fucking amazing. Like, I didn't think I liked, because I didn't used to like his show. I don't know if you've ever saw the Jeselnik.
Yeah. The Jeselnik Offensive?
Offensive.
Yeah. It wasn't very good.
He was all right, but, like, the problem is, like, it just was, like, it needed to be somewhere you could do what he normally does, which is be overly offensive to the max.
Well, there's that, and it also suffers from, like, because I like the puppet guy. I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now. Jeff Dunham. You know, but then they give him a show, and it's like, okay, it's a lot of the same.
Yeah, it's like there's nothing, like, Key and Peele, both stand-up comedians, but they don't do, like, they do their sketches, and it's, like, super funny, and that's why it's good they're getting out of it.
Sketch.
What?
They're improv sketch guys. They're not really stand-ups.
Well, they've done stand-up, you know what I mean? Like, they're not, they're like
but they're known for
but they're known for their stand-up. More
or
than
not,
their,
sorry,
or
not
for
their
sketch,
stand-up.
Yes.
Okay.
So their sketch show, that's what I meant. So their sketch show is literally that. It's like just being them being able to do more advanced sketch stuff other than just being on a stage, just doing it. They give, you know, they have really good production on some of them. Like the football one, I was like, this one's ridiculous. Like, it's raining.
The Neil deGrasse Tyson ones are
Best. They're fantastic.
Oh my God.
I'm actually watching the first three seasons are on Hulu right now. So I'm getting through those because I got no cable right now. So it's all Hulu and Netflix. But yeah, so I like seen the show in spots, but damn it, dude. It's so great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mad that I haven't already seen it.
Yeah.
Anyways,
Jeselnik right now?
Anthony Jeselnik would probably be his new. You gotta. I mean, first off, I'll preface this. If you are easily offended,
don't
by anything. Like when I say this, anything. If you're easily offended by the color of a car, do not listen to this album, because A, you will hunt me down. And B, I will not be the first person that you try to kill, because it'll enrage you. But it is if you listen to this show and you feel okay with what we say, I'm pretty sure you're okay to listen to Anthony Jeselnik. Just know that
it takes it up a notch.
We like I sometimes have to watch what I say, and Mike easily grimaces at some of the stuff I do say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's my non-verbal way to tell him to get off a subject right away, is I kind of give him like a don't say that face.
The problem is he doesn't care.
Well, no, he stops from elaborating quite a bit. Though.
Yeah,
I can see it.
I will easily tailor myself sometimes. Anthony Jeselnik, has the inability to give a fuck, and does not. Like, the shit he fucking says. I'll give you just a quick line of one of the things he says. Oh, that's only the second rape joke, baby doll. We got two more to go.
Yeah.
That's literally something he says to somebody in his crowd.
Yeah.
And that is not an understatement, because when he gets to that fourth one, he lets you know.
Yeah.
That was rape joke number four. It is fantastic. Now, I say this, and that sounds horrible for me to say, like they were laughing at that.
Yeah.
When you listen to it, you'll understand why it's funny. Not because rape is funny.
Again. But
the shit he says is fucking hilarious. He is not making fun of rape, I'll tell you right now.
No.
No.
He's making fun of the situations that have to do with rape.
Yeah.
In a way. What listen about to
you?
It. Super
you
fun.
Don't really do a lot of stand up, right?
No, I really don't.
I like this new guy. His name's Chris Rock. That's my impression.
No,
of Dale.
I watch a lot of stuff that if it happens to be on Comedy Central and somebody that I know or that I like, I'll absolutely watch it. But I'm not somebody that will go out and be like, oh, it's on Netflix, you know, or whatnot, and go out and watch. So, Gabriel Iglesias was on Comedy Central not too long ago, and I love that. I love him. You know, he's really funny.
I like it a lot. So, with HBO Go or Now, whichever one I have.
HBO Go Now?
They have Go Now. Go Now, HBO.
Go Now, watch money.
They have a bunch of their stand-up specials on there, so I've been clicking through those. Even the people I don't really know, I've been watching. And with Apple Music, you got access to a lot of the albums. I still got to say, though, the most like current best people right now is Bill Burr and John Mulaney.
Yeah, Bill Burr is funny.
Burr's hilarious.
Bill Burr has always been funny. John Mulaney is hilarious.
Yeah.
If you watch the one that's on Netflix, it's also his last CD he released.
New in Town. Yeah, it's got the same cover art.
Ooh. Yeah, it's exactly the same, but it's still, I mean, I listen to
his older albums on Apple Music too. So yeah. If you have Apple Music, you can catch that there.
It is just like I listened to Mitch Hedberg last night, and I still realize like he's still one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah,
he really is.
It's just a shame that he decided to drug himself to death on purpose, you know, by the way, not by accident.
Wasn't
literally
good that people talk about being the best.
Who's that?
Sam Kinison.
Sam Kinison wasn't funny. He was shocking.
Well, no, because other comedians will say, and I'll say this. I listen. The only one available on Apple Music is one of his last ones, one of his last couple that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And even comedians will say he had already gone downhill from there. Joe Rogan says for 1 year, he had like a 1 year stretch where he was the best comedian ever for 1 year. Hmm. Like in that year, nobody could touch him. Nobody ever has. And then he'll say like after that, it's prior for longevity and always being. But I don't see it at all. I've tried to find a bunch of Sam Kinison, and he's just kind of fucking annoying. Like there's nothing about it that's funny to me.
Joe Rogan's another one that I always forget was a comedian at first.
He still does stand-up.
He still does. Yeah, he's just not as in the limelight as I would say as a comedian.
No, because he's but mainly because he only does a special like every 3 years.
Yeah,
you know, and then
he does mostly the UFC stuff now. He's got the On It Gym.
Yeah, and his podcast.
Yeah,
his last one, Rocky Mountain High, was fantastic. And he's more of a storyteller comedian too. He's not really jokes per se.
Yeah,
but yeah, he's pretty great. Mulaney, Bill Burr, those are my favorites. So,
it's a good list.
Yeah. Go to you sleep over there?
No, I was just waiting because I was trying to think of somebody else like recently, but
no,
because there's a bunch of older comics that haven't really done anything.
Yeah,
that I really like. Obviously, Mitch Hedberg hasn't done anything in a while because he's dead. He's just a deadbeat. It's not too soon. Calm down. It's 2008 or 9, whatever it was. It's like a decade ago. Not really. It's half a decade ago. But like Bill Burr is really funny. Whoa, what is his name? Doesn't matter. Adam Ferreira is really funny. Not on the TV show with the cars, but just his stand up is really funny. He's funny on that, but that show's awful.
Yeah,
the American version. I'm trying to think of who else that's really funny that I've seen that I know of lately. I can't really think of a new one.
I like Marc Maron.
Mark Maron's funny. His newer stuff, his older stuff.
His older stuff was rough, but he was also super coked up, I think.
Yeah.
And then if you listen to his podcast, you kind of know he's a neurotic kind of like weird dude, and he had a big coke problem back in the day.
Yeah.
Used to do a lot of coke with Sam Kinison, to bring that back up. But, dude, he's got crazy Kinison stories. He's got stories about like being up like 72 hours straight doing coke with Kinison. Yeah.
Those are some good stories, probably.
Oh, yeah, but they're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But no, I watched his like 95, 96 special, whatever, on HBO. And he's so political. And this is what made me laugh. Mark Maron, a guy who caught on because of a podcast, essentially an internet radio show, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had done radio before, and he obviously was a comedian, so it was a good medium for him to get in. He's one of the first. He's one of the original people to do it. In his stand-up special from HBO, he literally calls the internet the next CB radio, I think. Like, he just blasts the shit out of how stupid it is and how only nerds and dudes that, like, can't get dates are going to be on it in 5 years. And it just made me laugh.
That, to say, that is a very accurate description.
And also him.
And also him, yeah.
Because that's how he got famous.
Yeah.
But, and I've talked about his show. His show, his comedy is more, he's got Thinky Pain is on Netflix. That's a great special.
Yeah.
Again, it's just stories, really, but it's really, really good. And he just filmed a new one that should be out in November. And that's another one. You know Bobcat Goldthwait?
Yeah.
He directs, like, all of the stand-up specials now. Not all of them, but a shit ton of them.
Wow.
Yeah. And his special on Netflix is actually really good, too.
He's a newer one? From 2011?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really funny.
I haven't seen a one from him.
It's fucking, dude, when he talks about his ex-wife.
He's so much better now that he dropped the character that he was in the 80s, because everyone...
Yeah.
Because everyone thought that was him, but that was just a character, and it got him movies, and it got him work, so...
It's because people do not understand characters.
Yeah. They don't... Well, to be fair, there wasn't a lot of characters doing stand-up, though, either. So it kind of fucked with people a little bit.
Because you see somebody go out on stage, and you're assuming that's them. That's how they are. But yeah.
And so his, again, another old special from HBO is on HBO Go. That one's funny, but kind of uncomfortable. Like, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
His newer stuff where he kind of makes fun of that character and he talks about his calm down and everything. It's really, really good.
I'd have to watch that one.
You know who I really don't like that much either? And I've listened to is Hardwick's stand up doesn't really hit with me like at all. Chris Hardwick, the Nerdist.
Hardwick.
I love.
Yeah.
He's hilarious on At Midnight. He's got a great, like, not a good podcast, a fucking amazing podcast.
Mm-hmm. But the problem with Hardwick is he tries to be too nerdy to be like, oh, I was the first. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just like too much.
Is that what, I don't know. That might be what it is.
It's exactly what it is. Because I've always said it.
Something about his stand-up where I'm like...
He's a great
funny.
Host.
Like, he has funny stuff in
he's
it.
He's very funny. The problem with his special is he tries to be too nerdy and make it funny. That's the problem.
But even with that being said, like, if he came to town or his next special, I will definitely watch just to see.
Yeah.
Because he's too funny on all of his stuff to...
At least not give him a shot.
So not give him a shot. Yeah, yeah. Like, but his special was not great.
When did that air?
Mandroid came out 2013, I think. Yeah, something like that.
Fairly
not too
recent.
Long ago.
Yeah, so he's about due for a new one.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he was working on one. Like, he's building up to make one.
Do you think it's because he's not the kind of comedian that everyone else is because he's got so many other things going on?
No, that's like he is an alternative comic, like a lot of people are.
But so is Pete Holmes. Pete Holmes is funny.
Oh, Pete Holmes is hilarious.
Depending, well, actually, no, his stand-up's actually really funny.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sometimes his other stuff's like he's super weird for some reason. But with Chris, he tries too hard to be nerdy.
Maybe he's when just he doesn't too need nerdy. To
be. No, he's not. That's the thing, though. You can be too nerdy. Like, you can be nerdy. But when you're trying to make jokes out of it, you're just trying too hard. That's what it is. And it's just he's trying too hard to make what he loves funny in a way where, like, not even a way where people will understand it more, just to seem like he's edgy. That's my problem. Because there's a lot of alternative comics that will be dirty, you know what I mean? And sometimes it's just too much.
Man.
But he just tries too hard to be just nerdy. Huh. And his stories that he tells are a little bit not flowing very well.
I kind of feel bad now because I don't want to bash him, but
no, I'm just saying I think he's very funny. Yeah. I just think his stand-up is not his best work, which is what he and that's why he's still trying because he's not known for being a comic.
No, not really.
When people think Hardwick, they don't think stand-up comedian. They think TV host,
I guess you're right. Yeah,
podcast host because it's not he like when you say it like people go I saw him do stand-up.
Oh, Talking Dead.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. It's like, that's where he knows. And he's great at that. He's really funny. All those things. Stand-up is not really it. Like, if you were to say, hey, Will Wheaton, super funny in stand-up, I'd be like, well, first off, you're drunk. And then I saw it. And it was amazing.
Hilarious.
But he's just, again, he's not really a stand-up.
No, he's not. No, that's what I'm saying.
He's more like a spoken word kind of show.
It was just, that is still stand-up. He's doing jokes while standing up.
Well, no, that I think if you're, if because Joe Rogan is a stand-up, but like I said his jokes are story based, but like Will Wheaton's stand-up air quotes is there's no writing to him. He's not honing it in. He's not doing open mics. No, he's just telling stories. He's more like a Kevin Smith kind of. Like Kevin Smith's hilarious.
Yeah, so I'm saying he's not known for stand-up, but Chris Hardwick, even though. That's literally where he started. He is known
Did he start on Single Out?
No, that was Male Katie Lang, right?
Oh, yeah.
But he started as a comedian. I just don't think that's actually his niche. He's very funny. But if you said, hey, you want to see a Chris Hardwick stand-up special or do you want to watch him host at midnight, I'd be like, at midnight.
Yeah.
Because he's really funny that way. Now, granted, I know he has a writing staff. But he is very funny. Like, you can't give a writing staff to someone who's not funny and make it funny.
Yeah.
His stand-up just leaves a lot to be
desired. Plus, there's so much on At Midnight that you can't account for in the writing. Like, basically, the writing is just, like, the intros to each section.
Yeah. A lot of the on-the-spot stuff.
Like, everything else is... Yeah. It has to be basically improv, for lack of a better term. Yeah.
Yeah.
We should do a... Because I feel like we have a lot more we could talk about that. Next week should be a stand-up. Someone watch a stand-up special, Joe.
I'll try to.
You're not going to do it. Cody, watch some stand-up.
Okay.
We'll come back. We'll report on some stand-up specials next week.
All right.
Yeah, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Boom. I think that's it.
Yep.
Yep.
Mike's cresting that bottle like it's... Gonna get away from him. I have to teach you. I love it. So yeah, that's it for this week's Comes Naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike.
I am Cody, and as usual, you guys just came naturally.
Boom! Chocolate. All up in your face.